6. Given these truths, we should fear these words more than hell. We should respect the things they state more than the kingdom, and we ought not consider it a hardship to be punished, but to sin. Even if punishment didn't await us, we must punish ourselves for our ingratitude toward our benefactor. People have killed themselves when they fail in love or commit a wrong against their beloved. Shouldn't we feel the same remorse when we outrage someone so loving and gentle and willingly subject ourselves to the fires of hell? Should I mention something remarkable, even unbelievable to some? For anyone who truly understands and loves the Lord, it is more comforting to face punishment after provoking Him than to escape punishment. This can be understood from everyday life. Often, after wronging a dear friend, one's guilt is assuaged by punishing oneself, by experiencing suffering. This was reflected by David when he declared, "I, the shepherd, have sinned, and I have done wrong. What have these, my flock, done? Let your hand be upon me and upon my father's house." 2 Samuel 24:17. And when Absalom died, despite David being the victim, not the perpetrator, his intense love for Absalom led him to torment himself in anguish as a form of self-comfort. So too should we punish ourselves when we sin against him whom we should never offend. Can't you see those who've lost their natural-born children, bitterly inflicting pain on themselves, finding comfort in self-punishment for the sake of those they loved? If we find consolation in suffering when we've done no wrong to our dear ones, wouldn't it be even more comforting to endure punishment for our own provocations and wrongdoings? Not receiving punishment will instead torture, as anyone could reason. If anyone loves Christ as one should, they will comprehend this, that even when He forgives, one wouldn't bear to go unpunished, for the harshest punishment is having provoked Him. I'm aware that many might find this unbelievable, but it is indeed so, as I've said. Thus, if we love Christ as we should punish ourselves when we sin. One who loves anyone at all finds it not the suffering for provoking the beloved one intolerable, but above all, that they have provoked the person loved. And if the aggrieved party doesn't punish their wrongdoer, the guilty person is indeed tortured more. If the wronged person demands satisfaction, it brings comfort to the offender. Therefore, let us not fear hell, but the act of offending God. The most grievous act is when He turns away in anger. This is worse and heavier than all else. Consider this analogy. Imagine a king who sacrifices his beloved, innocent son to save and elevate a criminal, clearing his reputation. The criminal then goes on to disrespect the king who has shown him such mercy. Wouldn't this criminal, if he had the slightest bit of sense, wish for death rather than display such colossal ingratitude? Let's contemplate this scenario and mourn over the times we've wronged our benefactor. Our audacity shouldn't be emboldened by his patience, but should rather incite remorse. Among humans, if one offers the other cheek when struck, they indeed assert themselves more than by striking back. If one responds to verbal abuse with a blessing instead of retaliation, they land a heavier blow than 1,000 slanderous remarks could. Given our shame in the face of forbearance after injuring others in human interactions, should those who persistently sin yet evade immediate punishment not feel a more profound fear toward God? Punishment beyond comprehension is reserved for them. With these things in mind, we should fear sin above all else. Causing sin is punishment, hell, a myriad of ills. We must not just fear, but also avoid sin and strive to constantly please God. This is the kingdom, this is life, this is countless blessings. So we may even now enjoy the kingdom and the blessings to come. May we all attain this through the grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto whom with the Father and the Holy Spirit be glory, power, honor, now and forever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.